For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Today, in our continuing study of Christian professionalism, we're going to focus on the importance of one word. It is but a word that can have such a great positive impact in your life when it is present, or such catastrophic negative repercussions if it is missing. And that word is trust. Trust is often the hardest of relationships to develop, but the easiest to lose. It can take years to build and seconds to destroy. If you see it, remember it, because we don't see much of trust anymore. And South Africa, more than any other country in which we have lived, presents such real and practical examples of this relationship. Let me illustrate to you what I mean. Tourism in South Africa is a big industry. It creates a lot of jobs and brings many tourists into this country. And one of the great attractions in South Africa is the wildlife and the game reserves. And coming out of this industry is the profession of the game ranger. And South Africa has developed the best game rangers in the world. Tourists from everywhere come here because they want to see the wildlife. The game ranger is an integral part of that experience. They trust the game rangers. The game rangers who take these high-paying tourists on game drives and walking safaris in some of the most remote and dangerous environments anywhere. They're anxious to come face to face with the most feared and dangerous wild animals in the world. And they put their trust into the capable hands of the professional game ranger. And the tourists know that the ranger is well-trained, well-equipped, and that ranger will protect them in the most dangerous of circumstances. You know, we were on a walking safari one time with a ranger in Umfolozi. In the thick bush, we came face-to-face with a white rhino, 4 meters in front of us. The ranger said, "Stop! Don't make a sound. And back up slowly," which we were all only too happy to do. On another occasion, we were enjoying snacks and drinks at a watering hole in Kruger Park. And it was sunset, almost dark. The ranger said, "Everybody back into the vehicle." And we all complained, but we did what he said. And sure enough, as we were safely back into the vehicle, he shone his spotlight into the bush. And 20 meters away, there were 5 lions crouched in the tall grass, watching us, ready to attack. Once we moved back into the vehicles, they came down to the watering hole to drink, but they were chased away by an angry hippo. You can say that we trusted those rangers enough to obey them, and their word certainly proved to be true. Trust is easily understood when we put it into the hands of a capable game ranger. But what happens in the real world, in the business world, where people don't care if you're eaten alive by your competition, or trampled by your enemies, or attacked by your coworkers? Businesses complain about lack of trust amongst staff and management, and they want to fix it, but they don't know how. They can't understand why there is no trust. After all, most likely they pay their people well. They give them coffee and tea breaks. They give them annual leave, awards, and certificates and bonuses. So why then is there a lack of trust? And why is there no appreciation? Well, you know, if you ask a couple of questions, as I've done, and the truth will be known. First of all, people don't attend meetings when they're supposed to. They're late or they forget. They speak badly about other staff members. Managers take advantage of their position and authority, and sometimes will abuse it. And then sometimes they get involved in unethical practices and unfulfilled promises. And what do? They say, "Where's the trust?" Well, first thing, they try to buy more trust with promotions and money. And if that doesn't work, they decide that they're going to fire some people. And so then we'll scare them into trusting us. And if that doesn't work, they say, then we're going to try the fun and games way to go, team building, playing and laughing together, beating drums and climbing mountains, hiking and biking trails. Companies figure that all of this will build trust. I've known executives and management teams who were told to walk over flames of red burning coals, and they are told that this will build trust and confidence amongst themselves. But all it produces is burned and blistered feet. These are human solutions. And as fun and exciting as they might be, they don't build trust. And yet trust is a relationship that far exceeds fun and games and emotional experiences. It cannot be forced or regulated or managed. And it certainly cannot be bought. It comes from within your soul, and it is built upon integrity and humility and love. We as believers in Christ have divine solutions that produce long-term results, meaningful solutions that last, not like man's solutions that fade away and never work. One of the great examples of trust in the Bible is of a young girl by the name of Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi had lost her husband and two sons. All three had died, and the only family left to her were her two daughters-in-law. Naomi realized that the two girls could still have happy lives if they returned to their own homes. One of the daughters decided to go back, but Ruth stayed with Naomi by her own free will. Ruth loved her mother-in-law and knew that she was going to go through a very traumatic time and felt that she needed her support and encouragement. And so she said to her mother-in-law, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die." These words tell us so much about the building up of trust, because these words were more than just words. They became her life. How many times do people say things, but the words that they say go no further than the corner of their mouth or the tip of their tongue? Empty words do not build trust. But Ruth's words extended into her life. What she promised to do, she did, and she fulfilled her promises and her obligations to her mother-in-law. This is integrity, and it's the first building block, the first step of building trust. If you want to start building trust amongst your team and coworkers, then you start demonstrating integrity yourself. Proverbs 31:10 says, "A wife of noble character." This means a woman with integrity. And it says, "Who can find her? Because she is worth far more than rubies." The second thing about Ruth is that she put her mother-in-law's needs above her own. She was more concerned about another person than trying to advance her own needs or to promote herself or even to find her own happiness. And this took humility. If you want to start building trust amongst your team and coworkers, then you start demonstrating humility. Stop trying to change everybody and forcing them to conform to your standards. Stop trying to promote yourself above everyone else. Stop judging other people and condemning them for their wrongs. Look at yourself first in a mirror and deal with your own shortcomings and your own weaknesses first. The Bible says in Philippians 2:3, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself." And the verse continues and says, "Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." This was Ruth's attitude to other people. Because of her humility and her integrity, people trusted her. The third thing that we can learn from Ruth in the area of trust is that she lived and demonstrated the greater love as we know it now, as taught by Jesus Christ in John 15:12, to love others as he has loved us. Ruth understood love as it was taught by Moses in the Old Testament, in Leviticus 19:18, to love others as you would want them to love you, to love others as yourself. Naomi's name means pleasant, But when her husband and her two sons died, she wanted to be called Mara, which means bitter. She was bitter over her tremendous loss. But for Ruth, because of her love for Naomi, she showed even a greater love towards Naomi in her bitterness. And this greater love actually strengthened the trust between the two of them, and it was observed by the entire village where they lived. Ruth's attitude towards other people didn't depend on whether they were pleasant or bitter towards her. Her attitude of love was based on her own personal integrity and her humility. And so if you want to start building trust in your office amongst people with whom you work, start with yourself first. Develop integrity, humility, and love in your soul first. And it will not only be evident to others, but it will overflow into all relationships that you have in life. Jesus Christ taught us about trust. Before he was arrested and crucified, his disciples were confused and worried, and they needed reassurances. We all do from time to time, because trust and confidence waver, and it always needs to be reinforced and strengthened by someone with humility and integrity and love. And this is exactly what Jesus Christ did with his disciples. He told them in John 14:1, "Don't let your hearts be worried. Trust in God and trust in me also. Because in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you so. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and take you with me, that you also will be where I am." When these words were spoken by Jesus Christ, who was both God and man in one person, they were spoken with absolute integrity, perfect humility, and the greatest love for mankind. And there was no reason not to trust him, because he never failed, he never sinned, and he never let anyone down. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So in whom do you put your trust and confidence for eternal life? A life that is beyond the grave after the sting of death. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 25, verse 8, "God will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. Surely," he says, "this is our God. We trusted him and he saved us." And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him, Jesus Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave them the right to become children of God. So if you have not yet made that most important decision of your life, do it now. Right where you are, privately in your mind, you can say, "I believe in Jesus Christ," and you become a child of God, because God showed us his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died as a substitute for us, and that by believing in him, he would give you the most remarkable gift of eternal life with him. So until next time, I close and pray, to him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, power and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, unto all ages, both now and forevermore. Amen. My name is Tom Molyneux. And if any of you would wish to write me or email me, you may do so at info@molinar.co.za. That is info@molinar, spelled M-O-L-I-N-A-R, .coza. Or you're certainly welcome to visit our website at molinarmission.com.